Listening Library presents Valiant by Holly Black. Read for you by Renee Rodman. Prologue. For I shall learn from flower and leaf that color every drop they hold, to change the lifeless wine of grief to living gold. Sarah Teasdale, Alchemy. The tree woman choked on poison, the slow sap of her blood burning. Most of her leaves had already fallen, but those remaining blackened and shriveled along her back. She pulled her roots up from the deep soil, long, hairy tendrils that flinched in the chill late autumn air. An iron fence had surrounded her trunk for years, the stink of the metal as familiar as any small ache. The iron scorched her as she dragged her roots over it. She tumbled onto the concrete sidewalk, her slow tree thoughts filling with pain. A human walking two little dogs stumbled against the brick wall of a building. A taxi screeched to a halt and blared its horn. Long branches tipped over a bottle as the tree woman scrambled to pull away from the metal. She stared at the dark glass as it rolled into the street, watching the dregs of bitter poison drip out of the neck, seeing the familiar scrawl on the little strip of paper secured with wax. The contents of that bottle should have been a tonic, not the instrument of her death. She tried to lift herself up again. One of the dogs started barking. The tree woman felt the poison working inside of her, choking her breath and befuddling her. She had been crawling somewhere, but she could no longer remember where. Dark green patches like bruises bloomed along her trunk. "Ravis," the tree woman whispered, the bark of her lips cracking. "Ravis." Chapter 1. Now here, you see, it takes all the running you can do to keep in the same place. If you want to get somewhere else, you must run at least twice as fast as that. Lewis Carroll, Through the Looking Glass. Valerie Russell felt something cold touch the small of her back and spun around, striking without thinking, her slap connected with flesh. A can of soda hit the concrete floor of the locker room and rolled, sticky brown liquid fizzing as it pooled. Other girls looked up from changing into sweats and started to giggle. Hands raised in mock surrender, Ruth laughed.
"Just a joke, Princess Badass of Badassia."
"Sorry," Val forced herself to say, but the sudden surprise of anger hadn't entirely dissipated, and she felt like an idiot.
"What are you doing down here? I thought being your sweat gave you hives."
Ruth sat down on a green bench, looking exotic in a vintage smoking jacket and long velvet skirt. Ruth's brows were thin pencil lines, her eyes outlined with black coal and red shadow that made her look like a kabuki dancer. Her hair was glossy black, paler at the roots, and threaded with purple braids. She took a deep drag on her clove cigarette and blew smoke in the direction of one of Val's teammates.
"Only my own sweat."
Val rolled her own eyes, but she smiled. She had to admit, it was a fantastic response. Val and Ruth had been friends forever, for so long that Val was used to being the overshadowed one, the normal one, the one who set up the witty one-liners, not the one who delivered them. She liked that role. It made her feel safe. Robin to Ruth's Batman, Chewbacca to her Han Solo. Val leaned down to kick off her sneakers and saw herself in the small mirror on her locker door, strands of orangey hair peeking out from a green bandana. Ruth had been dyeing her own hair since the fifth grade, first in colors you could buy in boxes at the supermarket, then in crazy beautiful colors like mermaid green and poodle pink.
But Val had only dyed her hair once. It had been a store-bought auburn, just darker and richer than her own pale color, but it had gotten her grounded anyway. Back then, her mother punished her every time she did anything to show that she was growing up. Mom didn't want her to get a bra, didn't want her to wear short skirts, and didn't want her dating until high school. Now that she was in high school, all of a sudden, her mother was pushing makeup and dating advice. Val had gotten used to pulling her hair back in bandanas, wearing jeans and t-shirts, though, and didn't want to change.
I've got some statistics for the Flower Baby Project, and I picked out some potential names for him.
Ruth unshouldered her giant messenger bag. The front flap was smeared with paint and studded with buttons and stickers, a pink triangle peeling at the edges, a button hand-lettered to say, "Still Not King," a smaller one that read, "Some things exist whether you believe in them or not," and a dozen more.
I was thinking maybe you could come over tonight and we could work on it.
I can't, Val said. Tom and I are going to see a hockey game in the city after practice.
You're going to make a boy out of him yet,
Ruth said, twirling one of her purple braids around her finger. Val frowned. She couldn't help noticing the edge in Ruth's voice when she talked about Tom.
Do you think he doesn't want to go? Val asked. Did he say something?
Ruth shook her head and took another quick draw on her cigarette.
No, nothing like that.
I was thinking that we could go to the village after the game if there's time, walk around St. Mark's. Only a couple of months earlier at the town fair, Tom had applied a press-on tattoo to the small of her back by kneeling down and licking the spot wet before pressing it to her skin. Now, she could barely get him to have sex.
The city at night. Romantic.
The way Ruth said it, Val thought she meant the opposite.
What? What's going on with you?
Nothing, Ruth said. I'm just distracted or something.
She fanned herself with one hand.
So many nearly naked girls in one place.
Val nodded, half convinced.
Did you look at those chat logs like I told you? Find that one where I sent you statistics about all female households for the project?
I didn't get a chance.
I'll find it tomorrow, okay?
Val rolled her eyes. My mother is online 24/7. She has some new internet boyfriend. Ruth made a gagging sound.
What?
Val said. I thought you supported online love. Weren't you the one who said it was love of the mind, truly spiritual without flesh to encumber it?
I hope I didn't say that.
Ruth pressed the back of her hand to her forehead, letting her body tip backward in mock faint. She caught herself suddenly jerking upright.
Hey, is that a rubber band around your ponytail? That's going to rip out your hair. Get over here. I think I have a scrunchie and a brush.
Val straddled the bench in front of Ruth and let her work out the band.
Ouch! You're making it worse. Aren't you athletic types supposed to be more butch?
Ruth brushed Val's hair out and threaded it through the cloth tie, pulling it tight enough so that Val thought she could feel the tiny hairs on the back of her neck snapping. Jennifer walked up and leaned on her lacrosse stick. She was a plain, large-boned girl who had been in Val's school since kindergarten. She always looked unnaturally clean, from her shiny hair to the sparkling white of her knee socks and her unwrinkled shorts. She was also the captain of their team.
Hey, Lesbo, take it elsewhere. You afraid it's catching?
Ruth asked sweetly.
Fuck off, Jen, Val said, less witty and a moment too late.
You're not supposed to smoke here, said Jen.
But she didn't look at Ruth. She stared at Val's sweats. Tom had decorated one side of them, drawing a gargoyle with permanent marker up a whole leg. The other side was mostly slogans or just random stuff Val had written with a bunch of different pens. They probably weren't what Jen thought of as regulation practice wear.
Never mind. I gotta go anyway.
Ruth put out her cigarette on the bench, burning a crater in the wood.
Later, Val. Later, closet case.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?